Amen. It's good to be here, and though I didn't know Rabbi Arnaldo, man, what a man of God. Great testimonies about him. I'd like to share something with you. This is kind of my bread and butter, this topic, dealing with the Word and the Spirit, both aspects in our life, and particularly listening to what the Lord has to say in the Word and by the Spirit. So let's just commit this to Him. Thank you for your precious Ruach HaKodesh that glorifies the Messiah, the Son of God, that's in our midst as we worship Him. Thank you, you are the living bread, the living Word. Pray that you would feed your people this morning in Yeshua's name. Amen. I want to kick this off with a story from the Good News according to Luke. Luke chapter 10, verse 38. I'm reading from the NIV. I'll make appropriate messianic translations when appropriate. This is called At the Home of Martha and Mary. Mary, of course, is Miriam. Named after the sister of Moses. As Yeshua and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. And what a nice thought, something that we need to receive this morning. We need to open our home to the Lord. She had a sister called Miriam who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he had to say. And that's what I want to underscore this morning. We need to sit at the Lord's feet, listening to what he has to say. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. How many know there's a lot of work that needs to be done to prepare a meal for someone? But she was distracted by these things and got caught up in them. And she tried to get the Lord to intervene on her behalf. She came to him and asked, and sometimes we approach the Lord this way, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Kind of woe is me. Tell her to help me. So sometimes we want to tell the Lord to tell someone else to do what we want done. The Lord had a different agenda this day, and as he always does. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things. So she was upset about many things, but only one thing is needful. And Mary, Miriam, has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. So I want to ask this question, what goes on in our house? Again, we have a tabernacle of the Holy Spirit of God. Are we consumed with a lot of worry and a lot of soul traffic, or are we doing what Mary did, sitting at the Lord's feet, listening to what he has to say? And I want to encourage us along these lines, particularly on the Sabbath, whether we've got one day above another, every day alike, we're called to live in a Sabbath rest, listening, sitting at his feet and listening to what he has to say. That's what he bids his congregations as he spoke in the book of Revelation on a number of occasions. He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the congregations. So he bids us to do this. Sometimes we think to please him, and Martha wanted to please him, and we do have service. We have responsibilities. They came on their way, they came to the village, and it's appropriate to wash their feet, to prepare a meal. But she was distracted by all she had to do, all her responsibilities, about many things, and the Lord said to her, just one thing is needful, and that won't be taken away from her. So I want to encourage us in our homes to really sit at the Lord's feet and to listen to what he has to say. Mother Teresa was interviewed by Dan Rather a number of years ago, and Dan Rather, again, a very secular man, Mother Teresa, a godly saint. And in the course of asking her questions, asked her about prayer. Says, what do you do when you pray? And she, with the, of course, the glory of God that was always upon her, she said, I listen. And that caught Dan Rather off guard, because normally we think of prayer as a lot of speaking. We're telling God, as Martha did, this is what you need to do. Lord, tell her to do this. But she learned the secret, just to listen. Again, Dan Rather caught off guard, being a little impromptu. He said, well, what does God do? And she said, he listens. So that was her communion. She listened to God, and God listened to her. It was a sharing of hearts, sitting at his feet and listening to what he had to say. And this is the better part, which will not be taken away. It's a very simple message, where we overlook the simplicity of following the Lord in this way. I'm not that familiar with other cultures. I'm familiar with American culture. We're very achievement-oriented, getting things done, getting things accomplished, and a lot of type A's. I don't know if other parts in the world have type B's or C's, but it seems like everybody is a type A in our culture. John 1:14, very simple message. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, or tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Simeon saw the child, Yeshua, he recognized in a child before he did any miracles, before he did any teachings, he said, this is the glory of the people of Israel. So he too was at a place of sitting, as was Anna, his companion, people that were just waiting upon the Lord, listening to what he had to say, and they were prepared for his coming. Now, I always love to give examples from the tabernacle and the types and shadows, because they prefigure in the Old Covenant greater truths and eternal truths. And they were told to make everything according to this pattern. Well, there are two items that I want to highlight this morning that illustrate the Word and the Spirit that were in the tabernacle that the Lord instructed Moshe to build. One of them was the table of showbread, which was on the left. Now, you've probably heard the left brain, right brain concept. Left is more logical-oriented, and the right is more creative-oriented. I believe this was built into these two items, the Word and the Spirit. And we'll see how they interact as I share a few scriptures with you. But there was a table of showbread. It was about 2.5 feet high. And there's some truth in that, that the Word of God is accessible. For many centuries, when in the dark ages of the church age, the Word of God was taken away from the common people. It was made, was put into a language they didn't understand, and they were instructed that you can't understand these things. You need a priest to interpret them for you. John, very simple man, says you don't need anyone to teach. The Spirit of God will teach you. There is a place for teachers. I'll mention that in a moment. But it was very accessible. It was 2.5. It wasn't way up there that they couldn't reach it. It was that a child, generally children are 2.5 feet or taller. So that's where we feed from, something that's very accessible to us. There was 12 loaves put on there. 12 there were 12 disciples, 12 tribes. It's a completeness, a governing. And God wants us to feast on all the Word. We live by every word that proceeds from his lips. We want to sit at his feet and listen to all the words he has to say. I'm learning more as I read about Yeshua. He's demanding. He is Lord. And we need to listen. So there's a lot of voices out there. He's merciful. He's gracious, compassionate. But he is also demanding. It's an important concept to learn in this generation. The bread was put out on these tables, these 12 loaves, fresh on the Sabbath. So we need to receive God's word delivered to us on the Sabbath in a state of rest, as Mary experienced it. But I'm so thankful as well, the ingredients of these loaves, it was not just, unlike Passover, which of course is the most significant time in the Jewish festivals, this had some olive oil in it. So the word is never meant to be dry. God's words are life-giving. There's oil or a spirit component in his word. In Exodus 25:30, it says, "Put the bread of his presence on this table to be before me at all times." And I want to say that we can sit at the Lord's feet listening to what he has to say, as Mother Teresa was able to do at all times. And she was a woman, of course, that did a lot of work. But as Yeshua said, it's not me working, it's the Father working. I only do what the Father instructs me to do. He does what the Father showed him. So we need to operate in the same way as the Son of God, the Messiah, did. The Word is a person. We think in our Western terms about logic, but the Word is a person. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos in Greek, as the New Covenant was written. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was God. The Word, Yeshua, is God. Put the bread of his presence on this table before me at all times. So it's available always. So that's the one item. It's logical, but it's not a human reasoning logical. There is order to God's word that we need to understand. But then there was another item on the right. This was a 7-branch candlestick, a menorah. And in several places in Scripture, it speaks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. In Isaiah 11, the Spirit of the Lord will rest upon him. There's the one main shaft, and there were 3 shafts on the right and the left. I won't take the time to read that now, but on Isaiah 11 speaks about the sevenfold Spirit of God with the one main shaft and the 6 shafts, 3 here and 3 there. The book of Revelation as well speaks about the 7 spirits of God. Revelation 3:1, Revelation 4:5, and I'll read that. Before the throne, 7 lamps were blazing. These are the 7 spirits of God. So that the left brain, as I said, is more of the logical component. The right brain, or the right side, was a lamp that's burning. Now, one thing about fire, you can put it in a fireplace, but fire has a mind of its own. And our God is a consuming fire. And there are 7 spirits. We'll know more as we are before the throne, as our dear brother is now. Part of that company that just falls down. When something is said about the Lord, they just fall down and worship and cast their crowns. And I want to tell us and encourage us that we can experience that in our time. You know, we're in the body, there's limitations, but we are eternal. Sometimes you get in such a mode of fellowshipping with people, and you just have to cut it short. I have to go to sleep. But our spirits are eternal. We live in a body, though the outward man perish, our inward man is renewed day by day. But we can live in this eternal state. The Messiah did that. He lived before the Father in all he did. And Mary tapped into that as well. Exodus 27:21, speaking about that oil, Aaron and his sons are to keep the lamps burning before the Lord from evening till morning. So it was an ongoing. So the word needs to be as perpetually before us, and the oil on these lamps also need to be perpetually burning. Now, I want to share this thought. The things of God are free, but they're not cheap. They cost us something to obtain them. Proverbs, Solomon says, with all you're getting, get wisdom and understanding. So there's that dynamic that we rest, but it says to labor to enter into rest, because there's a lot of things that Martha kind of fell into that, that will distract us. That there's a lot of things that the God of this age, Satan, will try to put before us, will try to feed or agitate something. We're all human. We're people of like passions. So again, the things of God are free. They don't come cheaply. But we need to choose. Mary has chosen what is better. We need to make that choice on a daily basis. So there's the part that we play and the part that God plays. Again, as Mother Teresa said, I listen, he listens. Proverbs 8:34. Blessed is the man. I'm going to mention three things here. You might want to take notes. This is good stuff. Blessed is the man who listens to me. He that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. You're blessed if you listen to him. Do we listen just once a week? Well, some people do. Some people will listen more to commentators, to the news, the ball games, the TV shows, our own thoughts. Blessed who listens to me, watching daily at my doors. Just again, in the mode that Mary was in. Waiting at my doorway. Martha was not in a waiting mode. She was in an agitated mode. And again, we can do this as Mother Teresa did as she's working. Yeshua did it. He worked, but it wasn't his works. It was the works of the Father. So we need to listen, we need to watch, and we need to wait. Psalm 123, verse 2, behold, the eyes of the servants look to the hands of their master. So they're just kind of a looking, and we are, as servants, looking to our master, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress. This was also kind of a servant-servitile relationship. So as the eyes of a servant, as the eyes of a maid look to their masters, so our eyes look to the Lord our God. And I like the posture again. She sat at his feet. That there's just a humility, a humbling of ourselves, listening to what he said. So that's our part, to wait at his doorway, watch and listen. But I want to encourage us that God, it's not so much our seeking God, God seeking us. Isaiah 50, verse 4. The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's who is weary. So he had the capability from the Lord to give a word, to give an encouraging word. And that's what the main function is, to encourage, to exhort and comfort. The directional parts as well. So he's saying, the Lord is giving me this. I can speak a word to someone who's weary, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that's weary. How many know it takes great sensitivity to speak to someone who's weary? That it says about Yeshua, he won't judge, in Isaiah 11 there, he won't judge after what his eyes see or his ears hear, but with righteousness. So sometimes we can look at people and render human judgments upon people. And we're told not to judge one another, not to judge after the flesh. But Isaiah, he was able to speak a word in season to him that's weary. And how was he able to do that? He, the Lord, awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. So in order to speak something of life, we need to hear something of life. Yeshua spoke what he heard from the Father, and he did what he saw the Father doing. And this is the mode the Lord wants to bring us into, the Mary mode, or the Miriam mode. And the Lord is doing this in an increasing way in my life. I humbly say this, that to follow me as I follow Christ in this area. There's some areas I couldn't, I'm not the greatest giver, greatest mercy. I mean, Mother Teresa, I mean, I'm this big compared to her in some areas. But I have made it a practice in my life to hear what he has to say in his word and by his spirit. And more and more, again, I'm a New Yorker. New Yorkers tend to be, you know, high energy type. You ever hear New Yorkers talk with each other? It's unlike Minnesota nice, where people are polite. New Yorkers tell you exactly what's on their mind. There's a certain refreshingness about that. But I'm learning more just to not be so distracted. I can be very easily distracted. And I find when I'm distracted by doing a lot of things, I'm not listening to what the Lord has to say, and I don't have a word to give to someone and to him that's weary. I'll misjudge the situation and share something that is just inappropriate, not life-giving. The Pharisees, they did that to an extreme. And how they got from individual, I mean, they grew up, as we all do, young people that loving the Torah, and how they developed such callousness, I don't know. But may God protect us from being that way. Of course, the Pharisees get a bad rap, but if the Lord came in our time into his church, I'm sure he would be equally, if not more so, because there's more light given in the new covenant than the old covenant, grieved and troubled, and speak into the callousness that has developed among people that go by the name of the Lord today. So we look very harshly upon them, but the Lord is also compassionate toward them. But the Lord is just bringing me into, and my wife, into a time of increased intercession, increased dreams, visions, and just hearing what he has to say, and just simply by bringing, for the last 18 months, and it's been kind of characteristic of my life, but there's been an acceleration in the last 18 months. I want to do nothing more than just being in his presence. I mean, I worked, as we all do, but I just want to be before him. And the Lord has given me words, I mean, visions. I don't want to give a lot of examples, but things that I may have missed. In Psalm 19, I love it, the voice of God is speaking always through nature, through his word. But maybe I missed so much because I wasn't listening. I became maybe callous to some things, maybe thinking I knew the scripture. If a man thinks he knows, he doesn't know as he ought to know, because there's a continually listening. And that again, perhaps what happened to the Pharisees or the current version of Pharisaical people in our time that think they know from the Lord. Okay, I've read this, I've studied it, I know it, so I don't have to continue to be at the Lord's feet. I can just be about doing, and you kind of get a little angry at the Lord that, you know, why is this person being blessed and they're not doing anything, and I'm working so hard and I'm not being blessed. But anyway, just very specific things. The Lord's given me the tongue to learn. I know how to speak. He wakens me morning just by interceding. I'll give you one example. I just was praying for this couple, and the Lord just gave me a vision of this couple at a bus station. She was seated. He was standing. They had their suitcases packed, and the bus station was empty, and I just had a sense that their bus was not going to come into this station, and that the message needed to be communicated to them. So I got this at night. The next morning, I was at a conference, actually, and I mentioned this to the brother, and this is what the Lord showed me. And he says, you have to tell this to Jen, my wife. We met at a bus station. That's where we met. And so this had a personal application that the Lord knew. The Lord's given me the tongue to learn it, that I know how to speak to him that's weary. And many, many other such occasions. Just praying for a guy, ministering to him. I usually start with scripture. When I pray for someone, I'll just minister scripture. And then if the Lord gives something, I share it. And sometimes I don't know what it's about. The woman caught in adultery, you know, why the Lord wrote on the ground, I don't know. But in the course of that, the Father gave him a word, an appropriate word. So just praying, ministering to this guy, and this guy was I mean, a stocky guy. He looked like he'd be a football player or a wrestler or something, you know, younger than me. He's younger than his 50s. And I just felt a sense of he's supposed to resist cigarettes. This guy, he's not a smoker that I can tell. So I say, well, this is what the Lord's showing me. You're to resist cigarettes. And he says, I know exactly what you're talking about. And I didn't know this about him. I'm a stand-up comedian, and the Lord has been speaking to me about getting out of the bar scene. So that was the sense. And there might be another person. Maybe the Lord's using him in that. You know, so I just deliver. You know, I don't have a predisposition. I don't know what stand-up comics go through. Maybe there's some God's called to that. But this was what the Lord had spoken to him. And sometimes the voice of the Lord is so faint, we could easily miss it. I was at a meeting. I'll give you this one final example. Well, I'll give you another personal example, actually, after this one. But I was at a meeting, and I just felt this guy was leading worship. He had a bunch of young people. I just felt to tell him that the Lord was pleased that he's raising up the next generation. And with that, there was just a vision that came of a nursery, a tree nursery. There was a plot, and one of the sections, there were trees that were growing up, and then there was a whole uncultivated plot. So just to make a long story short, I could have easily just ignored that. And how many times do we ignore things that the Lord wants to do? I don't know if you've heard it. It's become a popular story about Beth Moore. She was at a plane terminal waiting for a flight. And there was a man that came in. I believe he was in a wheelchair, if I'm not mistaken. He had real matty, long gray hair. And she just prayed, and the Lord spoke to her to comb his hair. You've heard that story? Maybe some can say it better than me, but it didn't make sense to her. It was not left brain. It didn't, you need the left and right. But she eventually obeyed the Lord and developed a relationship of just communication, encouraging this man before he died. And things that the Lord would want to put in our laps, we have no idea the benefits. He gives us things, but we need to be at the place of listening. Last year, I was just in a time of seeking the Lord and extended prayer and fasting. And how many, if you've done that, I thought I'd be in the third heaven by day 10. And there were things the Lord showed me, but it really turned into a time of plowing, more than revelation. But there were some key revelations. I mean, I live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth, in the Word and by the Spirit. But the Lord touched something in me, no light. It wasn't a vision in this case. It was just something he touched in my heart, and he told me I'd neglected the message of Israel. He just put his finger on that, and then appropriately just kind of led me through Psalm 51, just really repenting of that. The fear of man had crept in. I work currently among people that don't appreciate that, so I held back. Now I don't want to be obnoxious all the time, but the Lord spoke to me as he spoke to Paul one time when he was testifying, and strengthened him. So, as I mentioned, the Lord is demanding. He didn't give me an option on this. He told me you've neglected this. And I've not completely, but I neglected it to the extent that he wanted it represented through my ministry, through my words. So we need to hear what he's saying. And all his words are good, even if they're convicting. And amen. Let me talk just a bit more on the Word of God. It's a prophetic word. The Torah is prophetic. When we get to the point where we make it, as it says in 2 Corinthians 3:6, the letter kills, the Spirit gives life. In 2 Peter 1, verse 20 to 21, it speaks about no prophecy of Scripture. It's always a prophetic word, and that's why I can read it multiple times and always have something different, because it was God-breathed, holy men spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. These are words that God has spoken. So again, it's a prophetic word. Yeshua in John 6:63 said, "It's the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and their life." So we need to get beyond, as I said, the letter to really what the Spirit is saying. Psalm 119:97. May this more and more be what our heart's expression is. David, king, but yet a humble worshiper of God. "Oh, how I love your law, how I love your Torah. It's my meditation all the day." So again, and humbly I can say, follow me as I follow Christ. I make the Word of God my meditation all day. When I have my computer screen, I have BibleGateway.com. So when I'm not having to give my attention to what I'm doing at work, and I work at home, I'm blessed in this way, so I have some liberties to do this that maybe when I worked many years at office, I couldn't have done that as easily, so I'm blessed in that way. But I just turned to Scriptures. Just the other day, Psalm 37, I spent at least an hour just reading that Scripture, just letting the words just sink in. It's my meditation all day. And maybe I'll give my attention to leading. I do project management. I have to lead meetings and different things. So I'll do that, and then I'll turn my attention again to something else in Scripture. Maybe back to Psalm 37 to get more out of it. David in Psalm 119, verse 147, what was said about Brother Arnaldo about working late? Well, David knew that in his devotion to the Lord. He said, "I rise up before the dawning of the morning and cry for help. I hope in your word. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word." And I hope you all have the privilege to do that. It's inconvenient. As I said, the things of God are free, but they're not cheap. It will require. But thankfully that it's the Lord who wakens us. I just intend to go to sleep every night. And if the Lord wakes me up, someone said that, the Lord woke her up, but I think the woman who shared something prophetically. But he did that. He also did it as a discipline. I rise before the dawning of the morning. Just this morning, I tend to get up early. I got up 5-ish, and I like to go on a walk. And when I go on a walk, I do two things. I meditate on the Word, and I pray in the Spirit. And I'll talk about praying in the Spirit in a moment. And there's just something that's... Philip Keller, who was an actual shepherd, wrote a book about the morning, about sheep. And there's a dew upon the grass, which is only there in the morning. Just like the manna was there for the children of Israel. There's deposits that the Lord puts in the morning. You can miss it. That's okay, because David said evening, morning, and afternoon. You can do it all the time. The bread of his presence is before him always. You can always sit at his feet and listen to his word. But there is something special about the morning, and there's something special about the night too, about being opened through the watches of the night. The Lord invites us, and again, he's demanding, "Couldn't you watch with me 1 hour?" And I believe that is the challenge to us as well, to get to the place where we can pray uninterruptedly an hour. And I guarantee you, when you're there an hour, you won't be satisfied. You want to do it 2 hours. You want to do it all the time. Now, again, I work, as most people do. Sundays, usually involved in a lot of congregational type of stuff, responsibilities. But Saturdays is really my Sabbath, my day off. I'll do my walk in the morning. And I used to be a runner, and I turned to walking primarily because it's more in the pace for me of prayer. Running is always, it didn't come naturally to me. So I found that walking it takes longer, which is okay. I can pray more. I can meditate on the word more. So I do that, and I do my laundry, and then I teach an internet course, I grade the papers. But I try to spend the remaining day just before the Lord, reading scripture, just lying on my face before him in my room, reading scripture, praying in the spirit, just to make it a habit. Paul wrote about the things, the afflictions that he experienced in 2 Corinthians 11:27. He mentions two things he did often, and they are sleepless nights and fastings. And I didn't come by this by choice, but sleepless nights are my dear sister's here. So my mother, it seems to be an inherited genetic thing, but maybe a calling, an intercessory calling. My mother is a light sleeper. I tell her about my lack of sleep. But it served me well in my weakness, and what Scripture substantiates in Paul saying, sleepless nights often. But it's in those times where the Lord, I can sit at his feet. Sometimes I don't like it. I'll be honest with you. I get upset that I'm up. And the Lord knows that. Maybe the Lord would say, you're worried about many things. I mean, I'll give you strength for the day if you lose some sleep. But I've grown through this. This has been a tool that the Lord has used to shape me, sleepless nights. And I mentioned I was a runner for 18 years. And these 18 months have been precious, a redemption of 18 years where I didn't fast much. I've come into just a greater measure. And again, I just say this, to follow me as I follow the Messiah, it's a good thing to live a life where fasting is incorporated. The Lord said, didn't say if you fast. He said when you fast. Do it then. Don't do it to be shown. I'm just doing it again, just to encourage you. Not that I want, you know, accolades for fasting. And actually, I'm making up for lost time, because when you're running marathons, how many know it's not too easy to fast? You won't make it. But I've given that up. And there's a place that prayer will bring you to. Derek Prince wrote a book, Shaping History Through Prayer and Fasting. I'm sorry, I don't have a chalkboard here, but he had a pyramid. And the large part of the bottom, he said, through prayer alone, you can attain this territory. Prayer will take you very far. But there's this section on top, and the top is just a visual illustration. There's a certain place that you can only come to through prayer and fasting. Because there's a human nature which is resistant to God. The natural man doesn't receive the things of God because they're contrary to him. So fasting, what it does, what the Lord was reprimanding was to fasting to demonstrate how spiritual you are. What it's supposed to do is to break down your resistance and bring you to a place of weakness, and so that you come before the Lord in weakness and that he can speak mightily through you. So I encourage that. I want to encourage as well systematic reading of Scripture. Again, I love the spontaneity. Just again, Psalm 37, and day before that, it was Psalm 40. I just spent a lot of time just meditating on that. I've been spending a lot of time in all kinds of things, all kinds of things I feast on in the Word. Jacob. Of course, you know, he was changed to Israel. But you read his life. Sometimes we think that overnight he changed completely. Not true. He still had at his core some issues that the Lord dealt with. And you read, I encourage you to do this. Read in the prophets, read in Genesis, other places where it speaks. Sometimes the Lord referred to him as Jacob. Sometimes the Lord refers to him as Israel. You ever consider why the Lord does that? Study it. There's a time where he recognizes our Jacob nature. And there's a time he speaks to us in our renewed nature. There's a time when the Lord spoke to Simon and Peter. And it seems like we're always going to carry that with us. Interesting stuff, but stuff I could have easily overlooked had I been fixated on American Idol or other things. I'm just becoming more and more to the place, so I just want to be at his feet and hear what he has to say. So again, I encourage systematic reading of Scripture. I encourage spontaneous reading. I encourage you to set aside some time. It's kind of always been many years been a practice of setting aside Saturdays. It'd be a time, my study day, and a lot of times I did it because I had a message to give. I do. You don't just do it for a purpose. You do it just to be before the Lord. If I never have the opportunity again to share, I want to still do that on an ongoing basis before the Lord. And again, praying in the Spirit. I have both things, the fire, the menorah going on and the table going on, and both of them going on, just coming into God's tabernacle that way. Meditating day and night. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law, the Torah, shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it day and night, in order that you may observe to do according to all that it's written in it. For then you'll make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Psalm 1 says the same thing. Blessed is the man who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And how many know there's a lot of counsels out there? And I'm not just talking about what one-on-one someone will counsel you, but there's a lot of voices. There's a lot of messages out there. There's the internet with all kinds of things. I love the internet. Just because of the wealth. You can get anything. You can get the messages from the seed. Now, I just learned that. There are podcasts here. I listen to Michael Brown's messages, Art Katz's messages, all kinds of things I listen to on the internet. But blessed is he who doesn't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. And notice there's more comfortableness. There's a walking in the counsel. So we're just kind of walking along, nor stands. You're kind of getting more comfortable with this stuff in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So we can become comfortable and be progressively more comfortable with the counsel of the ungodly. And it's not to take us out of the world. The Lord prayed not to take us out of the world, but to keep him from the evil. And the more I come into God's presence, and again, I tend to be a private person. I'm not the most sociable person. But when I do get in social situations, after I've had a season in God's presence, I have something to say. I have an encouragement. There's something of God that rubs off. And it's as Paul wrote about in 2 Corinthians, and the Israelites, they couldn't handle the glory that Moses displayed from being in God's presence because of darkness in their own lives, in their own souls. But Moses could handle it. Joshua could handle it. And the glory rubbed off. So it'll rub off, and we'll have something to bless others. Let me just conclude. I want to take a little time concluding. But I want to share some of the benefits of being in the Word of God, then some of the benefits of praying in the Spirit, because both the table, the showbread, both the menorah, and this is my experience on a daily and an ongoing basis, just to sit at the Lord's feet listening to what he says. So Romans 10:17, one of the benefits of the Word of God, it produces faith. We live by faith. And that's why the God of this world has a negative faith, as it were, that he tries to communicate to us through the prince of this world, the counsel of the ungodly. He is called the God of this world. Of course, Yeshua overcame him, and that's the realm we need to live in. We've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light of his Son. But we need the Word of God to continue to produce faith in us. It comes by hearing the Word of God. So if we're not listening to what he's saying, the light can dim out. And again, it's not to dim out. The bread was always supposed to be fresh. The light was supposed to be on there. So the Word of God produces faith. Secondly, we overcome the works of the enemy. When the Lord was tempted, he basically counteracted all the attacks with Scripture. He knew the Scripture. First, we have to know it to to apply it. I mean, Satan came with very enticing things, and how he comes to us too, how he came to Adam, how he comes to every person. We're all tempted in the same way. But the Word of God will be our stance against the enemy. Third benefit of the Word, we get sound teaching. And I want to say that in the Lord said in the last days, take heed that you be not deceived. Deception will be on the rise. There'll be false prophets doing false signs. So we need to know the Word of God and to counteract that. Paul writes to his son in the faith, Timothy, 2 Timothy 3, verses 15 and 16, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures. God has magnified his word above all his name. So we need to value it in the same way. Which are able. So there's a power in the Scriptures in our life. The Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Yeshua HaMashiach. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for teaching, for reproof. Now thank God for the reproof. And for correction. So some people don't want the reproof and don't want the correction. Proverbs tells us not to turn at God's reproof. And he says, I'll pour out my spirit upon you. I'll make known my ways to you. So the reproofs of righteousness are the ways of life. So if we have a concept of Yeshua as someone who just affirms, it's a mistaken. It's mistaken. He does affirm. He does encourage. You saw how he related to the woman caught in adultery, to the merciful. He shows himself merciful. But it does reprove us. So that's why we look into it. We behold ourselves. And we need to make the adjustment, not forget what we've seen in the mirror, but follow through on what the Lord shows us. And I've endeavored to do that, to be faithful to what he showed me, and to not neglect the message of Israel. I've done it in many uncomfortable places. I was just on a plane with a guy. He was on a missions trip to another land, and I just shared about Israel. And he took great offense at this, but I just you instruct with meekness. There is such an offense, and we need to not be offended at his words, not to draw back. I was just a lead a prayer meeting, and I just praying for the peace of Jerusalem, and this one guy got so offended he went out. He had really a satanic opposition that was just rising in him, and I faced this. That's why, thankfully, the Lord encouraged me. I needed that affirmation that I'm on the right path. It's not just something I'm doing because it's my own natural affinity. It's beyond that. It's a message that the Lord wants to do. And it's a blessing for the body. The church will not be blessed unless they embrace whom God has blessed and whom God has ordained. If they try to cut Israel out of the inheritance, it's to their own hurt. Because how much more their fullness will bring blessing to the church. So, again, I've been encouraged in this. But we need to be careful, and I'm not going to read this whole thing, but in 2 Timothy it speaks about the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Because, again, the Word of God does reprove. People don't want to be reproved about sexual sins. And sometimes they'll justify it. They'll build a case to divorce their spouse for different reasons. I'm not getting into all the potential issues of abuse and all that, but I'm saying that deception that so easily is swept into believers because they've not received the word for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Let the word reprove us. Again, we'll grow and come into things. But it says that the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires. And that's really what it's about. They want their own desires rather than God's desires. They'll gather around them a great number of teachers to say what itching ears want to hear. And they will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. So again, these are the days we're coming into. The Lord said this would increase. Deceivers would increase worse and worse. So the word, and I've spent a little time on this because I think this is important for us. There are two aspects to the Spirit that I want to emphasize. The wind. The Spirit is wind. It's this very same word, ruach. In John 3:8, the Lord says, the wind or the Spirit blows wherever it pleases. You can't contain it. You hear its sound but can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone born of the Spirit. So there is that component of our lives that's undefinable. We flow in the Spirit. On the other hand, in Ephesians 4:14, and here's where I mentioned where John says you don't need anyone to teach you, the Holy Spirit teaches you. The Lord has set leaders like Rabbi Ed to establish the body. In verse Ephesians 4:14, that we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, blown here and there by every wind. We want the wind of the Ruach HaKodesh. There's a lot of winds that blow through. And by teaching, by cunning and craftiness of men and their deceitful scheming. So Paul said that's going to happen. So we need to be established in sound teaching. And I know this is a place where the Word of God is honored and teaching is sound. I love this, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. Another benefit of the Word, it exposes sin, keeps us on course. It says the Word of God is living and powerful. That doesn't sound like dry to me. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the division of soul, which would be the natural man, and spirit, of the joints and marrow. And the Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. He knows the hearts. And we just need to expose ourselves before the Lord. And there's, I love to say this, verse 13, there is no creature hidden from his sight. There's nothing. Where can I go from your presence? Where can I flee? But all things are naked and open to the eyes of him of whom we must give an account. So ultimately, the wheat, the tares grow up together. I just want to have as much wheat component, as much precious jewels, gold, silver, precious jewels, as opposed to wood, hay, and stubble, which will be burned. The day is going to declare it. And that day, I believe, is the second coming of the Lord, when we all, as believers, will appear before him. So again, however anyone else, I'm not moved by that. I want the Word of God to be my guideline. And then finally, I'll just mention this, Acts 4:32. Paul commended the believers in Ephesus to the Word of God, which can build them up and give us an inheritance. We have a great inheritance, the many precious promises that are in the Word of God. So that's why I encourage you to spend time in the Word. And then some benefits of praying in the Spirit. Jude verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up, edifying yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. So we need to be built up. This is not a selfish thing. This is a necessary thing. Because we need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So one way to fortify ourselves is praying in the Spirit. It bypasses our, and it's spoken about in the prophets. Isaiah spoke about this phenomenon, and Peter affirmed it in the day of Pentecost. So any gospel message that takes this the supernatural out is kind of like white bread. You're taking the nutrients out. The new covenant is supposed to be more powerful because it's open to everyone. It says, I'll pour out my Spirit upon all people. Your young men, your old men, your men and your women will prophesy, will dream dreams, will see visions. So the new covenant was not a ceiling on God's revelation. It was an increase It's a revelation of the knowledge of Him, so that our eyes of understanding become enlightened. So we build ourselves up by praying in the Spirit. Romans 8:26 and verse and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray for as we ought. We sometimes know, and the Lord gave us some guidelines of some things to pray for. That's good and right, to pray with our understanding. But there are things that we don't know how to pray for as we ought, but the Spirit Himself, the very Spirit of God Himself, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So spending time before the Lord, He'll pray things through you that'll surprise you. And He'll pray, I'll go on here, but He who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because He makes intercession for the believers according to the will of God. How many know if you pray according to His will, He hears us, and that whatever we pray for, we know that we have. So we know His will by the Word. We know His will by the Spirit. I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit. If I'm not walking with the Lord, yes. And again, God is demanding, but He's gentle too. If we judge ourselves, we won't be judged. If we just acknowledge, I've kind of used this thing. I hope this is helpful. As I come before the Lord, when I have something that comes to me which I know is wrong, I mean, there was a period of time, for example, that... I want to be sensitive to time. I'll be done in 5 minutes. The Lord was putting His finger on judgmentalism. I had become very judgmental of all kinds of things. And it was a stronghold. So I dealt with it, and I just stood against it, and I resisted it. But then thoughts would come of judgmental. So this is just a practical thing. I would say, okay, I am acknowledging that this is sin. You judge this, God. If you judge ourselves, we won't be judged. So I mentally say, I'm putting this to the right. Let your judgment fall. I'm going to be under God's covering. I submit to God. I acknowledge that as sin. The things the enemy tries to put on us, we just recognize that's not us. Paul, in recognizing there's the enemy and there's the flesh, he recognized in the flesh, he consented unto the law that was good. He consented unto to God's way was good. That's the sin that dwells in him. So I just renounce that. That's not me. And then sometimes things come to mind. Well, I'm not sure about this. So I put to the left. I say, Lord, You haven't put me to judge this situation. I don't have to render a verdict about everything that goes on. I put this to the left. I'm just going to walk before You if You sort it out. So the right goes anything that's, I know is sinful, I confess. The left goes things I don't know about. I don't know if this is right or wrong. Or I don't have to deal with it. Hope that's helpful. Just a couple of quick things. Praying in the Spirit is also an offensive weapon. We have a defensive mode against the enemy. We have an offensive. One of them is the Word of God. And sometimes we forget what Paul writes going on in verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is request. Prayer is more, I look at it as more of a communion with the Lord, where supplication is specific request. But all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful. And the Lord said to watch and pray lest you fall into temptation. So we need this. To the end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And again, one of the great privileges we have is to make intercession for other believers, that God can use us to pray on behalf of others. There's no greater privilege than to do that. And God will reward you for that. Quickly, other things, praying in the Spirit in Acts 2:11. They observed... As they heard them pray in their own languages, again, they were just praying in a language they didn't know, speaking a language they didn't know, that the people listening heard them declare the wonders of God. And I've been asking the Lord to give me interpretation, and I'm coming into that gradually, and I'll pick out words. Sometimes I find myself Hebrew words coming all kinds of things. Sadikenu, Tzedekenu comes a lot to me. But I'm just praying in the Spirit, and I'm declaring the wonders of God, the mysteries of God. And then final verse, 1 Corinthians 14:15, says, I'll sing with my spirit. And I won't do this publicly, but I just to sing before the Lord and the great hymn of the church, Over a Thousand Tongues. And God will give us those tongues. He'll give us the voice. I'm just giving expression to what the Spirit is doing. The Spirit is working as I'm sitting at His feet listening to His words. The Holy Spirit is activating something. And when I pray in the Spirit, I'm just giving voice to that. Sometimes it's a rejoicing. Sometimes it's a sadness. Sometimes it's warfare. I just want to be a vessel. I want to sit at His feet. But if we're like Martha, so busy with our own agenda, we can miss and hearing what the Spirit wants to say to His believers. Let me pray for you, and then I'll turn the service back to Rabbi Ed. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that you invite us to be in your presence, that we can come boldly before your throne of grace. Thank you that we're under the covering of the sacrifice of Yeshua. So we don't come before you in our own righteousness. Thank you, Lord, that even when we have things that are unrighteous, Lord, we can confess our sins. You're faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So the great barrier of sin and the resulting death has been taken care of through your great sacrifice. I just pray your blessing upon this congregation, Lord God. Thank you with Shavuot coming. I pray, as our sister shared prophetically, that there will be a release of the Ruach HaKodesh, Lord, that you would confirm your word with signs following. Thank you that it's not in word only, but also in power. And Lord, you call us to experience that in the sanctuary before you, Lord God. As they prayed, and there was a collective they, the place where they prayed was shaken. So Lord, we want to come into those days. Help us organize our lives in that way to come before you individually, collectively, Lord God, that our delight would be in you and not in what the enemy wants to serve, Lord, that we can feast upon your table. Bless your people, Lord God. Strengthen them as they testify to the Jew first, Lord God. And we do pray for the Jewish people in the Twin Cities area, Lord God. Let there be a movement of your Spirit upon the dry bones, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that the day is coming, Lord God, that your time of favoring them is coming, Lord. And we pray that even in our day, Lord, while it's still called today, that there be those that would recognize you, Lord God, as the Messiah whom they have pierced and mourn for him and come into the great salvation that you've ordained for Israel, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. We just bless your name. Thank you for the Sabbath day. Amen.